Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Something entirely different. Have you ever been on jury duty yourself? Did it bore you, maybe fascinate you, or leave you feeling traumatised? Now, for legal reasons, we never hear the perspective of a juror, but we will this morning. Joe Ahern served on a jury in a murder trial in the Old Bailey in London just 2 years ago. And listener discretion is advised here because the details of the case are distressing. In fact, those details are the very reason why we're talking to this man. And he joins us from the BBC Studios in London. Joe Ahern, good morning.
Good morning.
Can I find out a little bit about you, first of all, because you have lots of Irish connections. Tell us your heritage, your history.
Well, I was born and brought up in West London. Mm-hmm. My parents moved to London from Tipperary in the 50s, brought up the family there, and they moved back to Feathered in the late 70s, bringing me and my elder sister. I'm afraid I couldn't hack Ireland as a teenager, so I lasted about 3 months and they allowed me to come back to London.
Just three months? Wow.
Yeah, I'm afraid to say so. I was a pretty terrible teenager. I'm quite ashamed of it. I'm much more appreciative of Ireland now that I'm older. But then there was nothing there for me. So I've now got a place in Kilkenny and I'm over every month or so. So I kind of divide my time between Ireland and England at the moment.
Oh, very good. And tell us what you do.
I work in television as a writer and director in drama.
And in doing so, you've invented a fair few violent stories yourself in your job, I presume.
Yeah, I mean, I do mostly thrillers and horror, so I've perpetrated a fair amount of extreme violence over the years, it's fair to say, yeah.
You felt you weren't a squeamish person, and then, of course, you get selected for jury duty. Tell us what happens.
Well, you get a letter through the post and you're essentially summoned. It's a legal duty. You can't refuse it. There are very few excuses. I thought what most normal people think, which is it's a bit of a pain. Someone's got to do it. And I hope it's an interesting case. And I wish someone had told me at the time that that's perhaps not the most useful way to think about it, because if you're unlucky, you can get a case such as the one I was on, which was extremely harrowing. No one prepares you for the kind of stuff that you're going to have to look at and listen to over a prolonged period of time.
Did you have a reaction initially when you heard that this was going to be a murder trial?
Yeah, they don't tell you what the crime is until you arrive in court. I mean, again, I've worked on TV dramas that have kind of legal scenes. I've seen plenty of legal dramas. I'm sure a lot of people have, but I was surprised how little of the reality it gave you, certainly as a juror, because you're brought into the courtroom when the trial is already in progress. So it's a bit like walking onto a stage when you haven't been given your lines. You know,
nice.
you're summoned, you go to the jury box, and it's after you're sworn in, they tell you what the crime is. And all I can say is when I heard the word murder in court, it just sounds completely different. I mean, we throw around the word a lot. But when I heard the word murder, I just did not want to be there. I wanted to be anywhere else. But as I say, you can't really, there aren't really many excuses that would get you out of it.
No, and you obviously felt a sense of duty to go ahead as a juror. The case was absolutely horrendous.
Yes, it was. A gentleman was found dead in a cemetery park in London with wounds so severe they initially thought it was a shooting, but in fact it was a claw hammer. So you have to essentially look at several binders full of photographs and images of the wounds that were inflicted on that person. So it's very different from movie or television violence. You know,
yes.
It's not a 5-second close-up. You can't look away. You can't walk out. You can't change channels. You've literally got to look at it for that length of time. So, you know, you're showing all these images where, you know, initially it's what was done to the face. They will then take the skin off and show what was done to the skull, then the skull off, show what was done to the brain. And so by the end of a couple of days of this stuff, it's really burnt into your mind and, you know, you will never forget it. I mean, those images are with me forever.
And because it's a trial and because they're going through so many witnesses, you're shown these images again and again.
Yeah, I mean, in my case, you're shown them three times. The prosecution takes you through them. Then at the summing up, the prosecution takes you through them again, and then at the very end, the judge is summing up, takes you through them again. And I think in my case, because the defendant was pleading self-defence, I think the purpose of that was to say you can't do this to someone even in self-defence, you know, even if the other person started it, which wasn't the case, you're not allowed to do that to another human being.
The victim, he was a Sri Lankan man, Ranjit Kanka Malag, and he was a father of two. What effect did this have on you each day?
Well, one of the biggest problems is that one of the rules of being on the jury is you're not allowed to discuss the case.
Yes.
So you can't do what you would normally do if something, if you've experienced something bad. You can't talk to your partner about it. You can't talk to your family. You can't even talk to other members of the jury unless all 12 of you are in a room in private, which doesn't happen until the end of the trial. So really, you're left alone with these images. You're not really able to process them because the way the trial works is the information is given to you in a way that suits the court of the case, not your curiosity. It's made very clear to you every day by the judge. If you go home and Google anything to do with this case, you're breaking the law. And that's like, you know, it's up to 2 years in jail, a hefty fine, or both. Mm-hmm. So it's both very difficult to process what you're seeing, and there's no way to unload. There's no emotional support. So, for example, you're told if you do feel distressed or upset by what you're experiencing, you can seek counselling through your GP, right, which is not really viable while you're on a jury case, or you could call the Samaritans. But if you do either of those things, I didn't, but I've heard from a juror who did, it's a very short conversation because you can't discuss it with them either. So you really are you're on your own until the thing's finished, and that's one of the big problems.
And it's very long. It's a 4 week long trial. So
mine was 4 weeks, but I mean I consider myself to have gotten off lightly because the case did not involve children. I've not suffered the kind of violence that the victim suffered, and it only lasted 4 weeks. Some trials last for months. So you have the stress of being taken out of your environment and your life for that period of time. And that in itself is traumatising for some people.
What about the people in your life then? Because obviously you go home and you can't talk about the details of the case at home or explain how you're feeling and why.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, the case that I was on was very, very difficult for me, and I would have liked to be able to talk to my partner about it. And certainly a lot of my friends, when I discussed it with them afterwards, couldn't understand it and said, well, you know, why do you just break the law and, you know, talk to your husband? I mean, no one's going to find out. But I took the instructions seriously, and I understand that what the court says is that you have to receive every opinion and every fact, you know, through court. Even if you say you don't understand the legal term, it's also illegal to Google that at home. You have to write it on a piece of paper and give it to the judge, and everything has to be in open court.
Right.
So it's that isolation, I think, that compounds the distress of having to, you know, look at all these images.
You decided to speak to us here and to the Irish Examiner as well. What are you hoping to help change for jurors in the future?
Well, there are two things, really. One of the reasons why I'm talking about it is that I rather wish that I had a little bit more information going in so that I wasn't blindsided to the same extent. I mean, it really is like walking into a propeller. You have no idea. So even if people listening to this, I don't want to alarm them unduly. I mean, not everybody is going to get a case like this, but it's, you know, it's a reasonable risk. Just, you know, I would like people to prepare themselves. And the other thing I would like to see happen is to get some, you know, meaningful emotional support for jurors while they're on the trial. Since I was on that case, and there's been, you know, we've been campaigning for this to happen, there's now a pilot scheme underway in the UK where jurors are offered counselling after the trial is finished, which is great. It's better than nothing. But actually, once the trial is finished, a lot of the pressure is off anyway because you can talk to someone. What I really think needs to happen is to have people attached to the court who can advise you, even on just psychological things you can do to help ease the pressure. You may not be able to talk about the case to them, mm-hmm. but they would be able to give you tools to, you know, have a slightly better time, that's all.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because there are legal ramifications, and we're going to be wondering what goes on with counselling. Has it helped you to go around and do speeches and to talk about this? Because you haven't gone for counselling since yourself, have you?
No, I didn't feel I needed that, but it was very helpful to go to, for example, there's a a researcher in Manchester called Dr. Hannah Fawcett, who was doing a seminar on jury distress. And I went there a couple of weeks after the verdict was given. And that was really helpful for me just to see that there were people, you know, it wasn't just me feeling. See, one of the things is you feel quite ashamed to talk about your emotions in this context because the terrible thing that happened didn't happen to you, right? Right. It happened to someone else. Yeah. And you don't want to make it about you. So it was really helpful to see that a lot of people were struggling with this to the extent there were people researching it and, you know, there were researchers trying to change it. So, yeah, I did find it quite helpful talking about it.
OK, good. Well, good luck on your campaign, Joe Ahern, and thanks so much sharing with us. The Department of Justice here is undertaking a review of jury service here, and they say the consultation is ongoing. And the court service, meanwhile, is giving a leaflet to people on jury service that will provide links to mental health support services provided by the HSE. For anyone distressed by that, rte.ie/helplines has supports.